Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Off to the Races Conversations, where we spend a little bit more time with folks that we're talking with and maybe dig into things a little bit more than we usually do. My name's Frank Vespi, and on this week's episode, we're going to be doing some handicapping with Derby Bill Watson. We're going to talk about last week's Breeders' Cup, get his impressions, and also how he did and how he came to a couple of his selections. And if you know Derby Bill, you know that food may be involved. So we'll be talking with Derby Bill about the Breeders' Cup. Also going to talk with him about Saturday's races at Laurel Park. There are two stakes on tap. The Smart Halo Stakes for two-year-old fillies going six furlongs, and the James F. Lewis III Stakes for two-year-olds also going six furlongs. Those are running as the seventh and eighth races on the Laurel Park card. So should be fun to hear from Derby Bill, hear what he's got to say about all of that. And of course, you can always keep up with all of our handicapping from John Piazek, who does our Laurel handicapping, Ted Black, our Charlestown handicapping, and me. I do the parks handicapping, so plenty of handicapping and info on theracingbiz.com. So a lot of ways to follow the handicapping of the Mid-Atlantic region. So here on Off to the Races Conversations, without further ado, let's bring in Derby Bill Watson. All right, everybody. Welcoming into Off to the Races, our handicapping podcast for this week. It's Friday the 13th, which hopefully means good luck for us. As Derby Bill Watson going to join us and talk a little Breeders' Cup and then a little looking ahead to Laurel Park on the 14th on Saturday, which has two stakes for two-year-olds. Derby Bill, welcome aboard.
Yes, the Breeders' Cup always brings out a Friday the 13th one way or another in most of your degenerate handicappers in the country.
So how did Breeders' Cup treat you, Bill?
Well, it's probably my favorite wagering day, obviously, except for, you know, maybe the Super Bowl with all the proposition bets that you do with football. You know, you can bet on how many Doritos I eat during the first quarter.
The over-under on that's got to be sort of high, doesn't it?
At least a bag. A bag of quarters is a good reference for me. It used to be a hot dog, or a hot dog a race it used to be when I was younger at the horse track.
You're really bringing it if you could go throw a hot dog a race for, say, 12 races.
Yeah, you're bringing it for sure. You're bringing it on a little bit of Pepto-Bismol the next day.
Whatever it takes to keep the trains running, right?
But we always have Bob Baffert to rely on for an authentic Breeders' Cup, and the biggest wins in the country are usually the Prince of American Trainers. Bob Baffert does it once again.
So yeah, let's start with that, because start with the classic here. Our group of handicappers, I asked you and five other cappers for their picks for the Breeders' Cup Classic and three other races, and of the group of six, exactly zero of you had Authentic on top. What happened?
Yeah, usually I'm loyal to Bob Baffert since Silver Charm days back in the 80s. But just thought I had one more good race out of Tizzy, and Tizzy didn't have it.
No, he sure didn't.
No, definitely looking forward to having him race again at 4 years old to make amends for things in the Pegasus. So maybe we'll get some money back from him on the Pegasus. But Authentic and Improbable and Bob Baffert has had his horses remarkably in shape this year, you know, for the Triple Crown. It's always a three-year-old monster, Bob Baffert. And Authentic was a lot better than we gave him credit for, you know, that I gave him credit for. Improbable was the one that was on heavy last year. And now this year, he comes back and becomes a superstar. So, you know, I needed to flip-flop that.
Well, one of the things, you know, I was talking with Nick Hahn, who is another of our handicappers, who also didn't use Authentic. But he was saying after he watched some of the racing and the way the Keeneland racing strip was really a highway last weekend, that moved Authentic up in his eyes because he figured Authentic would make the lead. But he said he wasn't smart enough to move him all the way up, which I guess is what he should have done. But certainly it seemed like Authentic was a horse that benefited from a racing strip that was really kind to early speed types.
Oh, yeah. Baffert had Baron, American Pharaoh, Airgate, all like the speed tracks. And Tis the Law, as we found out, has a distinct displeasure for Kentucky. Must not be a Wildcat fan. He's 0-3 in Kentucky, and then he's a perfect 6-6 in Florida and New York. So I guess it's time for Tiz to go back down to Florida to win the Pegasus.
We'll see. That's true. He has won in Florida, hasn't he? He won the Florida Derby at Gulfstream, so
yeah.
He should appreciate that. Now let's talk about a couple of races you did hit stuff on, including the Breeders' Cup Turf, where you gave out the Cold Exacta with Tarnawa and Magical. What was it that why'd you put Tarnawa on top when I think most people thought Magical was the horse to beat?
Yeah, just the foreign contingent. I've been watching a lot of foreign races overseas, this is one of them. The Irish Breds did very well on the turf, and they always do well on the turf. The Euros take the turf just about every Breeders' Cup. That's my first thought pattern. And then Tarn Wawa is related to Wawa, and I go to Wawa all the time. So I use the got to correlate things when you're talking to Derby Bill to food and beverage and gas.
You know, getting from Tarnawa to Wawa is I didn't see it coming. I just couldn't get there. But that's
well,
why
like
you're Derby Bill and I'm not.
Well, it's like getting from Horatio Caramanis to Special K. There are things you have to do so you can remember a horse. So if you give them your own nickname, it's easy to remember when they get in these. When you get these foreign European horses that come over with the, you know, long names we've never heard of.
Now, also in the distaff, you were trying to beat Monomoy Girl, but if we just boxed your top two, we had the Exacta with 14-1 Valiant underneath in that race, who ran a huge race. What were you seeing from Valiant that made you want to get on that train?
Well, Valiant actually ran at Colonial Downs, I believe, way back, and just an up-and-coming and charger here late, and I just thought he had the closing speed. They would have a lot of speed with Menominee Girl. See the name? I need a nickname. Dunbar Road ran a great close, too. The track was so fast that, you know, you couldn't beat the top lady, but the two closers in this one did well. Valiance and Dunbar Road actually ran a good race there, and I was all over Valiance, and the Exacta paid pretty well, but it would have paid a lot more.
Yeah, for sure. That would have been, you might have blown up the tote board if you gotten that home.
We won a race at Colonial Downs last year, and, you know, that was, I sort of followed them. You know, when they race in, at your home track and they move elsewhere, you kind of keep an eye on them like you do with some of the Maryland breds.
Sure. No, that makes good sense. It's fun when you see a horse up close and then they go on and do good things. It's fun to keep an eye on that. So what were your overall impressions? I mean, what were a couple of the performances, maybe Breeders' Cup weekend, that really grabbed your attention?
Well, obviously, Aidan O'Brien in the mile with Order of Australia getting in as an alternate entry. But, you know, I have done this overseas. I have done a superfecta box with Aidan O'Brien before and hit it. So usually on these turf races, Aidan O'Brien is a key or his son overseas in these races. And the Euros always do well on turf. But $148.40 to win was it'll make you shake your head a little bit sometimes.
Well, especially Aidan O'Brien was the trained the trifecta in that race, which also included 11-1 Circus Maximus, who's a horse you liked, and 18-1 Lope Fernandez, which, gets you to an exacta that's $1,058 for a buck and a triple that paid almost $4,400 for 50 cents. That would have bought a lot of Doritos there.
Yeah, there's definitely you have to look at the Euros when a turf race hits the Breeders' Cup. I just love it. And this year it was actually a little faster. The turf was good conditioned, which I just can't believe I couldn't get to fast with no rain for 7 days. That was kind of peculiar. It stayed good. And the Euros come over here, they're used to running in softer turf, and they get on that harder turf, even if it's good, and they take off and just dominate usually on the turf race. And so you never want to leave them out of those races, like Adara in the Philly and there. And it paid handsomely there if you could have grabbed that one out of the European contingent.
Derby Bill Watson here, a little Breeders' Cup. O'Dryer or O'Daria, whatever her name was paid $37. So that's pretty good smack as well. Any other impressions out of the Breeders' Cup or last thoughts on Breeders' Cup 2020?
Well, you definitely want to keep an eye on them and the juvenile. Obviously, we got the Maryland juvenile coming up here in a couple weeks, December 5th. That always produces a couple good two-year-olds. And this time of year after the Breeders' Cup, my focus goes to the two-year-olds, like a lot of the country heading towards, next year's Triple Crown and everything. So you sort of actually, and later in the year, they always focus on two-year-old races. Essential Quality ran pretty big there in the juvenile. You usually don't see the Breeders' Cup juvenile win the Kentucky Derby, but, it's possible. But you have to put them on your list. So it's nice to see nice that they separated it for us with the juvenile Friday and then the big dogs on Saturday. I do like that style.
The Future Stars Friday, I think they call it. So Jackie's Warrior, who was the hot favorite in the juvenile at 9-10 odds, came in fourth, but kind of feel like this horse did not run a bad race, being up close to the just wicked early pace that had to fall apart after they went 45 and change for the half mile, Bill.
Oh yeah. The track was just setting records right and left, track record here, track record there. If they use the proper stopwatch, whoever was using the stopwatches, it fluctuated, but it was an extremely fast track. They had to set up like a Churchill. And when they go back to Del Mar next year, it will not be as fast. So, but I think that had a factor in the, favorite losing in that race.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's certainly it was very horse racing. I thought that that in the classic the timing system didn't work. I mean, what could be more apropos for horse racing than to screw up the timing in the biggest race?
Oh God, we get the best eastern temperature, 75, clear, sunny. The turf's good. The dirt's fast, and then we have some clock malfunction. It's like, when Mother Nature kicks in and we can blame everything on the mud and stuff, but this one we've got to blame on the human beings.
For sure. So, all right, that's the Breeders' Cup 2020. If you follow Derby Bill's picks on the racingbiz.com, you made a little bit of money because he gave out a winner, a colt exacta, and a box exacta in the four races he picked. So always a good way to make money is following Bill's picks. Bill,
not
what you got
for
us?
Not enough to get you to Del Mar.
Well, you make your own way there, and then we'll see what happens next.
I'd love to.
Where the surf meets the turf, can't beat Del Mar. A place that's not as nice as Del Mar is Laurel, Maryland, but nevertheless, fun racing tomorrow at Laurel, including two stakes for juveniles. And Bill, I thought these two stakes are pretty interesting. You got the Smart Halo for fillies and the James F. Lewis III for the boys. And the filly race, one of the things I thought was interesting is usually when you get these two-year-old races, the boys race has a ton of speed, early speed types in it, and the girls race is more horses that are going to kind of try to find a spot and, kind of work out a trip. And in these two races, the filly race, the Smart Halo, which is the seventh race tomorrow at Laurel Park, has just a ton of early speed. Everybody wants to be close to the front in this one, which could make it a pretty interesting, could open the door to maybe an interesting outcome or two. But give me your overall impression on the Smart Halo before we start digging in specifically.
Well, I think it's a good idea, obviously, with the turf, no more turf racing at Laurel for the year due to the, you know, like 5 inches of rain we get every week here lately and other factors. Now you got to focus on the dirt and hope for no slop here. But for the two-year-old races, it's a nice setup with the Smart Halo and the James Lewis for the Colts and the Phillies in a daily double type situation, you know, so you can focus. But I agree with you on this one. This one's very conducive to all of them running in one race. The Phillies could run against the Colts, and the Colts could run against the Phillies. It's almost like a split division stakes race here.
Yeah, it is. A couple of these Phillies look like they're pretty legitimate runners. And I know, let's start the first horse that the horse that you're picking on top is the Bernie Houghton trainee Prodigy Doll for Hank Notaft, a Shanghai Bobby filly who won an allowance at Laurel last time out absolutely by a pole in 110 flat, basically. Give us a lowdown on how you see Prodigy Doll.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the competition at Laurel October 22nd, but they look like the rest of them ended up in Bowie. They were so far behind. It's Horatio Caramanis up on that one, so I definitely had a couple dollars on it that day, fortunately for me, and it was 7-1. He's pretty much a shocker in that race, and then he also just rode the rail and won driving, like you said, by, you know, pick a pole. He won by a pole. A couple of horses in this race have won their last race by, but Out of Sorts is in this race for Sheldon Russell up, and he won by a pole, too, in the last race. So pretty intriguing, these horses coming off, you know, blowout wins.
Yeah, the two-horse Out of Sorts is actually the morning line favorite for trainer Brittany Russell. Nobody's been hotter than Brittany at this meet. She's 11 for 19 since racing return to Laurel, 58% if you're keeping score at home. And not only that, but 18 of her 19 starters have finished 1-2-3 during the meet so far. So I think it's you probably don't want to leave Out of Sorts out of your wagers, Bill. What do you think?
It's definitely interesting to watch when a trainer gets their choice of jockeys and always chooses their husband, Sheldon.
This is how we ensure marital bliss, right?
Well, if you win, I'd hate to see him go on a 24% downward spiral. And then they call it something other than marriage.
Yeah, it's true. I've often wondered about that, you know, if you're the trainer and the husband rides a bad race, or you're the rider and the wife doesn't have a horse well prepared, how does that affect things around the home front? But no reason for either of them to be upset with the other the last few weeks.
No, they're definitely a great team and a great young, still young, vibrant duo to add to the sports luster here and give it a little, 50-50 there on the, if she's training and you have a bad race, I guess she's entitled to chew his butt.
we'll let them sort that out. I think they're probably a little more capable
on that score than we are. That's because the horse is called Out of Sorts. So it's appropriate for where we were going with that.
Where you were going. I'm just staying away.
Yeah, I still have my Sheldon Russell.
What's that?
I still have my Sheldon Russell gnome I can throw around.
Oh yeah, the gnome. Was that a Colonial Downs giveaway, the little garden gnome?
Yes, it was. We went from the bobbleheads to the gnomes, and Sheldon was the first gnome.
Do you have the full slate?
And they are possible.
Do you have the full slate of bobbleheads, too?
I believe I do have all the bobbleheads and a Secretariat, not a bobblehead for Secretariat, but it was like a statue giveaway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't
Don't think they've done it since they reinvigorated Colonial Downs the second. Haven't got around to it yet.
Mark too. So you have the treasured Ferris Allen bobblehead.
Oh yeah, and that's up to about $250 on eBay.
You're holding out till it reaches $2,000, right?
No, that's $2.50.
So you'll be waiting a while.
Yeah, you can tell Ferris I'm holding about 10 of them.
That's what I call good investing right there. Well, since you probably didn't pay anything for them, that actually is good investing. So
that is, yes, very nice. I think what's the other one? Ryan Fogelsonger is up to $5.
Fogey was the hot young rider there for a little while.
He tore up the Maryland circuit just like Sheldon is, and just like Trevor McCarthy. Trevor, they pretty much in their own little world.
Yeah. No, those are some good riders, some guys who have done some damage. And another horse that you want to use in the Smart Halo here is the horse who was the runner up in the Maryland Million Lassie, Bill, the one horse Street Loot.
Hey, you can't go wrong with this one. His three performances have been owner's dream. You win your first two and then lose by a neck in the Lassie after picking up $100,000 in your first three outings of the 2-year-old. They've got to be Mr. Rob, obviously loves Charlestown racing, probably much one of the gurus up there. Shipping him down here. And the interesting here is the X-Man gets up on him after Pedroso was riding him the first three. And the X-Man gets a try here. So I do like him in this race off the Lassie performance. You cannot deny the horse has a lot of speed.
Yeah, well, you know, the X-Man is Jerry Robb's sort of go-to local rider. He was using Pedroza at Delaware, but back home at Laurel, X-Man's his guy. And one thing about this horse that I think makes her interesting in this spot too, Bill, is that with a lot of early speed types, as we're talking about before, she actually has shown the ability to sit off it a little bit and then make a run. And that's an ability that may really work to her advantage in this spot.
Yeah, it's hard to teach that as a 2-year-old. They usually get 3 or 4 or 5 races before they become, you know, a stalker. And usually they just like to, you know, go for it, as I would say. And if they have speed, it's hard to contain them. So that's why I was not picking him on top, just because of the jockey change there. Partially, he might not be used to the horse as much as the prodigal Dial has won up with a big monster performance with Special K up. So, but those three horses are going to lead my Daily Double there. I'm doing a Laurel Stakes tribute to you, Daily Double. Old-fashioned Daily Double.
Old-school Daily Double. Love it. So 5-1-2 in the Smart Halo Stakes, race 7 at Laurel Park, post time for the 7th, 3:21. Talking with Derby Bill Watson here, doing a little handicapping. And then we turn our attention to the James F. Lewis III Stakes, another $100,000 stake. This one for the boys, also going 6 furlongs. Again, a pretty interesting group here. You've got No Sense, who just won an allowance at Monmouth. You got Dalton, who was just second in the Smoke Lacken Stakes at Monmouth. You got a bunch of other Singlino, who won the First State Dash at Delaware Park. You got the Kenny Had a Notion, who just obliterated the field 2 in a row in the Jamestown on the turf, and then in the Maryland Million Nursery. So a bunch of interesting things in this race, Bill. Which way are you leaning here in the James F. Lewis III?
Yeah, well, like all handicappers, I started from the long shot to the favorite in this race, and the long shot even appealed to me here. Fearless Fly, maybe in the super factor, the 10 horse is just coming out. He ran in the Hopeful Stakes I mean, he was way back, but he ran in as hopeful and has a lot of class, and they have him as a 20-1 long shot here. So I might sneak him in there if I hit some early wagering, or or Tiger hits a birdie or two in the Masters for me.
Are you a golf guy, Bill?
Well, sports wagering's hitting, yes. I did go play golf when I could break 100. Now, when you can't break 100, you don't play golf anymore.
I totally hear you on that.
There's too many ticks and spiders and snakes in the woods to go chase your ball.
Which is where my ball invariably seemed to find its way too. So
I did play in the jockey. We used to play in the jockey handicapper tournament we had down just about every year. They had for charity, and I got tired of looking for my golf ball.
I totally hear you on that. Totally hear you. So, all right. Sorry, you were saying.
James Lewis III, actually, if people don't know, he was first president of the Maryland Million, and I'm a big fan of Jim McKay and the whole Maryland Millions day, which is usually a monster and would have been a 25,000 attended monster this year if we could have got it in. But James Lewis, quite a man, and a great race named after these people. I love that tradition. 6-furlong dirt, just like the Phillies. No senses, absolutely. One of my nicknames back at Colonial Downs was called Mr. No Sense.
This horse actually is owned by Hope Jones and Isabel D. Tommaso, and they're both of their sisters. Their maiden name was Haskell. And their father was Amory Haskell, who is the Haskell of the Haskell Invitational Stakes, the Grade One feature at Monmouth Park. This is your top choice, No Sense here. He's a son of Golden Sense, who's won two in a row, Bill.
Yeah, shipping in from Monmouth, your country there, New Jersey, your history there was perfect, right on the spot there. The world's greatest stretch, the shore's greatest stretch. Monmouth Beach, he just ran remarkable up there, and ships in, and Trevor picks him up and gets a horse that'll love the speed at Laurel. If we get a fast surface there, it'll be just as fast as the Breeders' Cup, and I like that. This horse is, as you said, surprisingly at a young age can stalk and close, which is a rarity. Usually the two-year-olds just go for it at 6 furlongs. You just let them show their speed and build on later in their career. But this one's actually stalked and won before. So I really like No Sense, and I really like 6-1 morning line over the two top picks there. Number four, I like second also. Dalton should be the favorite here. He was stakes placed. Plus, I like the movie Roadhouse, and Dalton threw quite a punch in that movie. So I got sentimental picks for Dalton.
That is... That's not even a food reference. Well, it's a bar reference, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to give credit to Patrick Swayze. I mean,
there's only so much a man can do.
No, I can't go that far. The smoke blacking, he just barely got nicked at the end there. I really think this one will go off at 9-5 or less. So, I'm hoping 9-5 on a 2-year-old, you just don't see it too often. Coming, making a trip down from Jersey too, so I like that. Both of my own are Monmouth-based picks here, No Sense and Dalton, and then your other one. I did not throw in my double, but I will bet on him in the triple. Kenny had a notion here, just a monster race on turf, can run on dirt, Virginia bred there, so very good. And Maryland Million Nursery did great on the dirt, and like I said, dirt and turf is rare to see. As they try to figure out which, as the owners and trainers find out, try to find out which way to go. Turf, dirt.
Yeah,
dirt, turf.
This guy, this guy's, yeah, turf, dirt. Let's go back to Dalton for a minute. Son of Cantharas, trained by Jorge Duarte Jr. Interesting thing about this horse's last race, when he just got pipped by Picking Time. Picking Time comes back after that race, wins the Grade 3 Nashua nicely, and is now being pointed In the direction, I forget which race it is, the Remsen or the might be the Remsen. Anyway, one of those New York races that is a Derby points race. So Dalton, that looks like a pretty nice effort. And, you know, he was three clear of the rest of the field. So pretty nice effort to be second to Pick and Time, who looks like he's going to be a real racehorse.
I'd like to have a piece of him. If I could get a $129 share of him like it could get authentic, I'd buy into Dalton. 4 for 4 in the money, and you, that's what you want in horse racing.
Yeah, yeah. You keep finishing in the money, you'll do all right. Now, no sense of horse you like coming out of an allowance race at Monmouth, and three horses were pretty close up, and nobody else was all that close in that race, and all three are here. That's no sense. Airport, who's a Mosler colt, he's the 6 horse, and Cingolino, he finished 3rd. He's the 5 horse here. He had come out of a win in the first day dash at Delaware Park in September. A horse that ran also in the first day dash and was up the track is Kenny Had a Notion. So a bunch of these horses kind of intermixing or interweaving in different ways.
Just solid 2-year-old races. I mean, these are nice. I'm glad, not glad, but I'm sort of glad Maryland and Clemson got Maryland and Ohio State got canceled, so I can totally focus on horse racing for part of the day Saturday.
I didn't even hear that. Was that because of COVID-19?
Yeah, Maryland and the big one, Ohio State, got canceled. So it was postponed, or I think it's canceled. I mean, this is a year to be absolutely forgotten.
It really is. And today is, of course, Friday the 13th in the year to be forgotten.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't want to forget it. You know, as far as the great horses, like Authentic is going to be the Eclipse winner. And, you know, some of these horse racings pretty much saved my year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been kind of a relief to be able to turn to horse racing and see something that kind of looks like normal.
The 64% handle increase in Virginia this year. I mean, people are at home, they're wagering. I mean, they're even watching more races with all the TV coverage added, FS1 and TVG and all these. You know, it's been a boost in a way. I mean, it's a sad way to get a boost, but I'd much rather be, you know, have 25,000 people at the Maryland Million.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, no,
but keeps us rolling. We got Cigar Mile. We got your December 5th, the big Maryland day there with the race that Secretariat won a long time ago. So we got things to look forward to.
Yeah, no, for sure. So here in the 8th in the James F. Lewis, you're going 3-4-7, No Sense, Dalton, and Kenny Had a Notion. And what's your old school double here, Bill?
Oh, and it's even less old school because I had to borrow some money for it. $5 straight daily double Wheel of Fortune, Vanna White Lookout. 5-1-2 with the 3-4. It's going to set you back $30. But these races are so even. If you can hit these two, it'll be $100 daily double possibly. So if you hit it 2.5 times, you know, pay the grocery bill.
That's it. And paying the grocery bill is another thing that's good to do. So 5-1-2-5 with 3-4 is Bill's daily double for tomorrow, the 2 stakes at Laurel. And then 3-4-7 is his top three in the Lewis, which is the 8th race, post time for the 8th. 3:51 post time for the 7th, 3:21. Bill, last thoughts on Breeders' Cup, Laurel Racing, or life in general?
Well, Laurel Racing has definitely gotten better. The fields are increasing with the younger horses. We obviously will miss the turf. The turf racing has been fabulous in Maryland and, you know, Virginia for the last 10 years. Turf racing has been on a rise. So we'll miss the turf racing, but it's time to focus on the young little boogers.
I'm with you. I really like these 2-year-old stakes. I like watching the 2-year-olds and seeing, you know, who might bubble up and become a real racehorse. It's fun. And, you know, sometimes the answer is none of them, but sometimes you see something really cool.
Mm-hmm. They should be sponsored by BC powder. I mean,
I don't even know what
they
BC
will
powder
give you a headache because there's not a lot to go on. You have to go on breeding. You have to go on, their pedigree. You have to have the trainer. You have to know quite a bit to handicap 2-year-olds.
Yeah, it certainly is its own set of challenges, no question about that. But if you can do it well, there's often chances to make real money. So that's got to be worth something.
You can ask every lady in the world if they can handle 2-year-olds, they're happy.
The terrible twos. That's what we're looking at right here. All right. Derby Bill Watson, thank you for taking some time, and good luck with your wagers.
Oh, yeah. Everybody needs some butterball money, so let's get lucky.
That was Derby Bill Watson here on Off to the Races, and we're handicapping Laurel Park. That's going to do it for this handicapping podcast. Thanks so much for joining us, and make sure to follow racing and follow handicapping and Derby Bill's picks and other stuff on theracingbiz.com every day of the year. Take care, everybody.